and welcome back to the Layover Podcast. This is season 10, season 9, episode 4. Got you guys. You didn't notice. Adam was correcting me on the phone.
Sam, you may be confused because we just got back from filming season 10.
What?
It's true. We just got back from filming season 10.
It's true.
That's true, and it's not even a lie.
I thought we recorded everything the week that it releases.
Nope.
Damn.
And I will say, we've returned from Australia, as people know. I'm having myself a little iced coffee, but I'm disappointed because it doesn't have ice cream in it. All the iced coffee in Australia, it had ice cream in it.
That's true.
And I got kind of used to that.
What? What? No?
What? Yeah.
That's true. When I went and I ordered iced coffee, they were like, putting ice cream in there. And then I Googled it, and Australian iced coffee has ice cream in there.
Like an iced latte?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I guess an iced latte. I don't know. When you order like iced coffee, they put ice cream in it. Every time I ordered one, they gave me a coffee with ice cream in it.
Yeah.
None of the times I ordered an iced latte, they did.
Really?
No, I just got very normal.
Well, it's a thing. You specifically have to order an iced coffee.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's only an iced coffee, not an iced latte. But yeah, when you order an iced coffee, it has a scoop of ice cream.
Okay, fair. Yeah. Well, like, that's like a specific thing, but not just like when you order any iced coffee.
But that's what iced coffee means.
When it says on the menu, iced coffee.
Well, okay. I don't know if this is the best podcast opening, but there's a difference between like an iced coffee, proper noun, specific thing in Australia, and just any iced coffee.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't realize. And then I went and I had a bunch of ice cream.
Right.
I'm really confused about what you're saying, but okay.
Because an iced latte is an iced coffee. It's a form of coffee that is iced, but it's not the Australian iced coffee that includes ice cream.
Okay.
Anyways,
we are indeed all suffering the impacts of traveling across many time zones in a fast manner. And therefore, this is going to be one of the most coherent and high energy podcasts we've ever done. And Adam, am I to understand correctly that you were deep in slumber less than 10 minutes ago?
You couldn't be more right about that. Yep.
Okay.
I had made the executive decision to sleep in a little bit and work a little bit later, and had not double-checked the calendar to make sure that I didn't have a podcast recording at 9:30.
Fair, yeah. But that does mean that this is one of the most up-to-date podcasts we've done in a while, because we're recording this just 2 days before it goes out. And it's been very good to see rather positive response to the season. Seems like people are enjoying it. We learned finally what those weird stick things in Switzerland are that we found in Merleshocken. That was very exciting.
Yes, yes. Would you like to be the one to reveal what they are, Sam?
Well, seemingly a lot of the audience knows, judging by my DMs and emails and every form of communication I have right now. But it turns out that they're basically to visualize what the kind of footprint of a soon-to-be-constructed building will be. Basically, to help with the planning, review, whatever kind of process, so that people can evaluate whether or not, I guess, they want to vote for approval or not, which seems like a very well-functioning society to consider sight lines and building impact and stuff like that. Hopefully it's not a byproduct of NIMBYism. But yeah, that was interesting.
I have a playground named after me now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no longer. Google Maps, I think.
Oh, did they take it down?
No, I actually checked this morning before the podcast.
Oh, really?
To see if I wanted to bring it up.
Well, the reviews, at least.
It still says Ben Doyle Spielplatz.
But the reviews were nuked, right?
Maybe the reviews were nuked. I don't know.
Oh, is that the case?
It still says it on there.
Well, official jet lag corporate opinion is don't spam Google Maps with meme reviews, because apparently they really don't like that.
Yeah.
It is funny, though. But yeah, that is fun. What else is new? Oh, the whole internet thinks that Adam and I are idiots.
Well, we knew that that would happen.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we kind of were.
Yeah, we were.
But rude. Also, mini rant. Everyone's like dunking on me for not immediately agreeing with the Strava thing. But like the thing that I think we have to like everyone needs to like post a sign on their computer.
Yeah, we don't have the motion graphics that you have.
Yes. Your motion graphics, it's not like we have a team of a half dozen professional motion graphic designers who are able to visualize perfectly while we're in the midst of the game. We're doing all of this on our tiny iPhone screen.
It's true. Well, and I think that also speaks to why it was so hard for us to find Ben, is that, like,
yeah,
if we had been looking at the same map you were looking at, we would have been like, oh, maybe he's by this other lake. But, like, we didn't have as clean of a map to work off of, which is why we just had eliminated that lake, because we didn't quite realize a tiny bit of it was still in play.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to kind of what we started to learn with Ben's run was really the most difficult scenario, which is when there's just like an overwhelming volume of information, because it just becomes less so kind of a challenge of like, can you deduce the right information, but more so, can you organize your research and information and all that, again, while kind of on your phone as you're running between trains and thinking about four other different things and all that. And, you know, it was pretty clear with Ben's run that, like, the answer is theoretically yes, but in practice, often no.
Yeah. Well, and also just that, like, keeping your information organized is important. Like, you know, as you may have seen, like, we weren't using the map, like the physical map that we had. And I think I would argue that was maybe a mistake, because,
well,
like, using that is helpful. Like, if we had been using that, we would have realized that part of the lake was not in that canton earlier.
Maybe. I found the physical map less helpful, personally, because so much of it was influenced by train lines, which you couldn't really...
That's true, which you couldn't see on the physical map.
Yeah. So at least for me, that wasn't the most useful tool, but it did, at least for anything more than the long game. But it was mostly a prop, I think, for me. Anyway, anything else to say about everything up until episode 4?
No.
We were on trending. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, trending. We really were not sure what the response would be to this season because it was so different. And it's very heartening that it's been as positive as it's been. And it makes us feel like we can get a little weird with it, you know? So get ready for us to get a little weird with it.
Well, actually, one thing that I was talking about that was sort of, I was actually talking about this with Michelle and Garrett, who I saw on Friday night.
Hey, Michelle.
Through the seasons, there does seem to be a bit of an inverse correlation between how much fun it is to film and how much the audience finds it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, like, I think we can agree that, like, Hide and Seek was one of the more boring ones to film. Not that I didn't enjoy it.
Well, I don't know, boring, sort of frustrating more so.
Well, it was just, like, monotonous. Either you were just kind of like sitting around in a town all day and, you know, basically, like, in my case, like, reaching the end of TikTok because I'd like entertain myself in all possible ways, or you were going through the rather frustrating process of trying and having difficulty to find the person in wandering around a small town for hours upon hours.
Yeah, I wouldn't say boring because it was definitely like one of the most mentally taxing games that we've done, but it was not fun. It was less fun than some of our other games. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I had fun overall. I feel like I always think the games are more fun than you guys do, though.
Well, like, I had fun overall. Like, the entirety of it was fun. On average, I think there were more moments that were, like, not as fun.
Right. That's true.
Like, for example, wandering around the streets of Merlashokan for 3 hours.
Certainly. Yeah, that was not fun. I'll tell you that for sure.
The thing that was never fun in this season was getting to the point where you just felt stumped.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you know what to do, when you have, like, a process that you're going through, that's fun enough because you think you're in the game. But then when you get stumped and you kind of just have to go back to the drawing board, that's very frustrating, I think. But that's, again, not to say that, like, we had a terrible time. More so, I think, just that, like, a lot of other seasons, I think, tend to be a little bit more fun to play, but don't always have quite as much of the audience appeal as seemingly Hide and Seek does.
Well, I think we all agree the most fun, maybe we don't all agree, but the most fun season to film, I think, was Japan.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Probably.
Which is one of the least popular among the audience.
Yeah, Japan was a lot of fun to film.
I think part of it, too, is that, like, Japan was so fun to film because as a player, there was so much game strategy happening in your head, there was actually too much for the audience to follow, I think, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And hide and seek, what's nice about it is I think that like the objective is so straightforward that it makes for like a pretty clean narrative for the most part, which is part of what makes it a little bit monotonous at times when you're playing it, especially when you're stuck.
I will say, for me at least, the one exception to this inverse relationship, whatever you want to call it, is Tag.
I agree. Yeah, Tag is very fun to film.
I really like filming Tag, and the audience seems to really like watching it. It's nice and simple, but never monotonous.
Yeah.
I mean, there are moments in Tag, you know, like Ben and I, you know, for example, last season when we were basically on trains for an entire game day, just trying to catch up to Adam, like that eventually just kind of got a bit boring because there was no dynamism. We were like literally just sitting on trains, scrolling Twitter, watching the view go by, which is not the worst time in the world. It's just like eventually gets a bit monotonous, but that's pretty rare. Usually things are happening a lot faster and it's much more dynamic. But anyways, we need to talk about episode 4. I feel like I have a lot to explain here. I mean, like ultimately it didn't go as badly as I thought it was going to go a couple hours in.
Yeah.
But not what I was aiming for. And I guess maybe where I should start is kind of explaining just like my fundamental strategy, you know, why I picked Winterthur. So my general thinking was I believe that the run that Ben just had was a very strong run. And that's a kind of interesting part about this game, especially us doing it the first time. We had no idea what was truly going to be a strong run.
That's true.
But looking at how much time we had spent basically diddling about or whatever, it felt like Ben's run would be quite competitive for the win. So therefore, I believe that in order to kind of open up the best possibility to get that number one spot, I had to try something pretty different, like try a pretty different strategy. I was also, I think, like all of us, a bit biased towards going to a new area of the country. I think, you know, we just kind of all wanted to play in different areas. So that generally meant going to the more populated north area because we had been south, we had been around Lucerne, and there wasn't an abundant ability to get to kind of other core areas in time. So I decided it was time to do the first city round. I believed with confidence that the short game would be a lot trickier in cities, basically off of seeing how difficult things were in Merleshocken. So the question in my mind was, would the long game be as difficult, or at least within a similar realm? Ultimately, of course, the answer was no. But like at the time, I didn't know that, and none of us really knew that. And I thought that there was a chance that going to a city like Winterthur, which is like the fifth largest in the country, would be counterintuitive enough that it would not be where y'all would kind of suspect, and therefore that you would kind of focus on smaller towns and almost kind of ignore Winterthur. And I was also hoping that the dynamic of being in an urban area near Zurich but not Zurich would also be tricky. Ultimately, I think the thing that I didn't realize when I was researching Winterthur, which all started, by the way, I had no idea where I was going to go the second we tagged Ben. I just got on the next train, which happened to go towards Lucerne, and then, you know, basically was trying to figure out where's the furthest I can go fastest. Oh, and I guess the one other thing that I was doing with Winterthur was I purposely did not go to the furthest extent of where I could theoretically go.
Right.
I was hoping that would be misleading because both of y'all had gone to literally pretty much the last stop you could theoretically get to in your time, which did act as a bit of a clue. So I was hoping that by not doing that, which had been the prevailing strategy so far, it would be sort of misleading.
Yes.
And I do think like some of this misleading stuff did work seemingly. The problem was just that the way that you did your questions happened to reveal Winterthur regardless. Because eventually, when you found out I was in Winterthur, it did not seem like you were expecting to find me there, basically.
No, not at all.
No, because what happened was Winterthur is a rail hub. So we knew that once we had, through our questions, determined you were in the general area, We just went to Winterthur.
Yeah.
Because it was a hub through which we would get to any number of places. We didn't go there because we actually thought you were there.
Yeah. And I think that was like basically my critical mistake is like I had not really either identified that or really thought through that when I was picking the location.
Mm-hmm.
So like it hadn't crossed my mind that once you had narrowed it down to like this slice of the country, you were going to go to Winterthur regardless.
Right.
That is definitely something that I probably should have figured out ahead of time.
I mean, you can see in the footage, like when you do the curse on us, we're really confused. Like we don't know why you did it because it was literally a point in the game where we thought we were just beginning the sort of middle game, the medium game.
Right.
And little did we know, we were already basically in the short game.
Yeah. I mean, I was also like very surprised because I couldn't figure out how you figured Winterthur out.
Right.
And of course, the answer was that you hadn't. But like from my perspective, it was like they just went straight here. They just like showed up. And I think you see some of that surprise in my footage.
Mm-hmm.
So like I had no idea what had given it away. So I think I sort of just panicked.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think the difficult thing then was it was the fact that you used the curse dice that led us to realize that you were probably in Winterthur. I mean, you can see us sort of working mm-hmm. that out because we start off and we're like, you know, that wasn't a very smart move of Sam to use the curse dice before we're even where he is. Like, you know, you should wait, you should save them. And then we slowly are like, wait a minute. He wouldn't use the curse dice unless we were where he is. Are we where he is? Mm-hmm. Is he here? And then, you know. I don't know that we would have even thought to try to confirm you were in Winterthur without that last piece that mm-hmm. was sort of pushing us to figure that out.
That's true.
Well, to be honest, like at that point, I mean, it was what, like 3 hours into the game day?
Mm-hmm. It was less than that, closer to two. It was quick.
So I also sort of thought at that point that there was zero shot I was going to have a competitive run,
mm-hmm.
you know, anything within the realm of Ben's time. So in a sense, like I almost was sort of like resigned to it. And, you know, there was like a small part of me that was thinking maybe it is better for me to get caught faster to improve my chances of potentially getting another run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a weird dynamic of this game because like
right.
it would have been a long shot. But like
possible.
If I had had a really quick catch time and then Adam, you had had another really quick time and then Ben had another really quick time. I mean, again, real long shot. There's a chance I could have a competitive or somewhat competitive last run.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So I sort of thought that was game over when y'all showed up in downtown Winterthur.
It turned out it wasn't really game over, though.
Nope, not even close.
Not quite.
Turned out there was actually a lot of game left to play.
Yep.
And we did not realize that. Like, it was a real roller coaster for us. Because, like,
ugh.
You know, we were coming into this round with our brand new strategy of sort of brute forcing the long game. And that totally worked out for us. And we were feeling really chill. I mean, we were in that cafe having a little cider. We were not worried at all.
Were we having cider? Were you drinking cider?
I was drinking a little cider. What can I say? But I mean, we were literally at the point where we were like, okay, well, this is all probably going to get, like, montaged away. Well, we're about to find him. And then, little did we know, this was about to become a real short game exhibition, so to speak.
Yeah, it really was.
Yep. And, you know, that was a major factor in why I picked Winterthur.
It's true.
Because the thing that I'd seen that had really made me fixate on it as I was, you know, researching where my final location would be was the fact that I could have this interesting combination of a secondary station in a major city, which I thought would be misleading, like a station that would have the characteristics of a lower frequency kind of rural station, but in the middle of a busy city, while also having, again, that zone that like overlaps with multiple different sets of forest. Because
mm-hmm.
I thought that both forest would be very difficult and especially two different zones of forest. And it turns out that y'all checked even more than those two different zones. But like, it did mean that to an extent I was sort of like sacrificing. I mean, I didn't think of it at the time as really sacrificing the long game, but trying a different long game strategy in mm-hmm. order to enable what I thought would be a very strong short game strategy.
Yeah. And I mean, the short game part of that definitely worked out. I mean, how shall we even talk about what happened there? I would say from our perspective, there were two major things that made it really hard. The first part was just figuring out you were in the woods, which turned out to be hard for a reason that I don't think that you, Sam, even realized or intended, which was that the nearest road to you was almost impossible to get to show up on Google Maps.
Yeah, was that intentional?
No. I mean, there were two sets of woods. I did intentionally go to this one because it was a lot more convoluted to get to. Like, you had to go under an overpass. Mm-hmm. You had to find a path up that wasn't even marked on Google Maps. So those were sort of tangential to that aspect. But no, it's not like I'd identified that that road was particularly difficult or anything.
So, I mean, just for some context, like, if you go on Google Maps and you go to this area of Winterthur, you'll notice that, like, in the woods, there are several gray lines which indicate roads that have no name. Like, there are lots of things in this area that just a road, it doesn't have a name because it's like a path or whatever. So, like, even though our rain strauss, like, you can see that there's a little gray line, from a normal zoom in, it just looks like it doesn't have a name. And it looks like what the real road is this 68, like, highway. Or it's maybe four. It seems to have a lot of names. It's like E41 or like 68 Winterthur Toss or like four. But yeah, so you were like nearest street starts with A. And so like if your area is just this whole big chunk of space, it's just almost impossible. And you can especially tell how hard it is to find that road because our immediate instinct was, what if he's in the woods? Right? That was the first thing we thought is we were like, I bet he went to the woods because that seems like what he would do. And we go and we look at all the streets that we can find in the woods. And we're like, well, he can't be in the woods because there's no street that starts with A. And so, like, we thought we had just ruled out the woods because, again, like, we had given it a pretty thorough look. And we were like, well, he can't be here because there's not a street that matches. Mm-hmm. So, like, having wrongly eliminated it, I mean, that alone lost us, Ben, what, probably like an hour and a half more until we managed to figure out that our rain strauss existed?
Yeah, because, like, as Sam has said, there were sort of a number of different woodses. But there were also, like, what we realized is, like, there were a number of other, like, smaller parks and stuff. And so we were like, part of our suspicion was like, maybe he's trying to trick us into thinking he's in the woods, but actually he's in a really small park or something. And he just like got a photo from a really good angle.
Right.
I mean, we also, for a really long time there, we were like, Sam must be wrong about one of these questions. Because like, again, for like the first 2 hours of looking for him, there was just not a single place that we could find that fit all of the criteria. And we didn't find that road until literally what you had to do is you just had to zoom all the way in and then trace the outline of each section of woods until that road came up. And eventually it did.
Yeah.
But that's what we had to do.
Well, I'll tell you what I think y'all's mistake was at this moment.
Perfect.
The fact that y'all did not confirm the train station, from my perspective, lost you like 2 or more hours, because the train station, if you had confirmed that my radius was based on Winterthur Toss station instead of the main station, the majority of the area that you ended up searching would have been excluded. Mm-hmm. Because you spent the majority of your time outside of that radius to the north, whereas a radius from Winterthur Toss, you would have seen that it could only include a rather small tranche of the woods. And actually, the particular woods that I went to, a very small tranche. It was the other woods. I mean, it depended on whether I put my radius right on the station or not. But considering I did, it was a very small tranche. And the bigger tranche, I believe, was in the other set of woods.
Is that true, though? Because you would have to have been within a mile of that. We only knew you were within a mile of that station, not a half mile. So it still would have included quite a lot of the woods.
Well, it would have included a lot of it if you had considered it truly as the potential being 1 mile.
Yeah, which you have to, because it could be. That's the theoretical limit.
Well, you have to, but like you can do order of operations and consider that it's far likelier to be within the first half mile than the entire mile. But it still would have excluded some of the areas you searched to the north. Well, it would have both done that and the McDonald's thing, of course. Depends on order of operations, of course. But the McDonald's thing, you wouldn't have gone to the wrong side of the city.
This is, I think, a good example of we didn't have Lily there with us to make a beautiful map. Because I remember we were pretty sure that Winterthur Toss was your station. And so we were operating off of that assumption and the McDonald's thing. But I think there were probably still times where we were looking outside of the area that we were sure you were in just because, like, we were working with sort of imperfect maps and, like, imperfect assessments of where we could be.
And I think probably one of a ton of examples in this game of a team basically wanting to save time by not doing the thing that takes a little bit of time.
Right.
But ultimately in a way that loses them much more time overall. That's really the trickiness of this game is like you do have to accurately sort through, is it worth taking this time to confirm this clue or clear this curse or do whatever? Or, you know, will the impact of it be less than the time saved or the time spent overall?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other part of it, frankly, is just like hiding in the woods. Because for a long time, we were like, oh, well, he's in the woods, but he's like on a path in the woods. So like, I mean, now going to like, how do you find someone in the woods? It's that you like triangulate their location by like combining like the distance from the nearest road and the distance from another thing, which I think, I don't remember. Let me see.
We were going off of distance from nearest road.
We knew that you were a distance from the nearest road, and we knew your nearest road was Auerrain Strauss.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we were also going off of walk to the nearest train station was the second biggest clue.
Right, the walk to the nearest train station. So we were like, where is a place that has both of these things? And like, that is hard to exactly pinpoint.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I sort of thought y'all were going to do was basically just walk a perfect 850 feet away from the road through the woods.
Yeah, well, what you don't realize about that is that that's through the woods. Like,
yeah, but it wasn't that thick.
We did eventually do that, and it was like you got like cut by lots of brambles and stuff. Like, it was like through the woods. It wasn't on a path.
I walked through those same woods.
It was like very uphill and downhill. Because this is maybe what you don't realize is that the other section of the woods that you weren't in, because we did eventually do that where we were walking like 860 feet from the nearest road in a straight line. But it was like, we're going all the way down this hill and all the way up this hill and all the way. Like, it took a really long time. It was not just like walking in a straight line through the woods.
Yeah, it wasn't as simple as just like, oh, let's walk in a straight line through the woods. Here we go. It was like doing that was hard.
Okay.
And we were, again, I think we sort of naively, when we went into the woods, were like, Sam will be visible from these walking paths.
Yeah, we also assumed you would be on a path for a long time. It wasn't for a long time until we actually figured out you might actually be like in the woods.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was visible from a path.
Barely.
It's just like, for some reason, y'all just like would always stop right before you kind of went down the path that I was visible from.
Oh, I think it's because the path that we ultimately found you on, that path like wasn't on the map.
Hmm.
And so like we weren't looking at it.
Hmm. Okay.
There were a couple paths in the woods that weren't showing up on the maps. And so that was also throwing us off. It was tough. This was a tough one.
I mean, it really is. I said this to you at the time, but I stand by it. I think it's impossible for you from your perspective, having just been in the woods, knowing where you were, looking at it on a map, to understand how hard it was from our perspective to figure out where you were in the woods.
I'm sure it was tricky.
Because there was a lot of woods.
Yeah.
Think about how hard it was to find Ben in Merleshocken and then pretend like that was the woods.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say it was sort of infuriating to learn that like we could have found Sam if we had just like gone up this other, like you weren't that far from town. Like you just went up a little path and then you were there. we entered the woods from a completely different place.
That's true, too.
And so we had no idea that, like, in our perspective, you were deep, deep, deep in the woods, but you actually weren't. And it was actually really easy to get in and out of the woods from where you were. And that we did not realize.
Mm-hmm. I believe that I don't fully understand the difficulties from y'all's end, if that makes you feel better.
But we did ultimately find you.
We did find you, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
In the end.
Yeah. It was truly at the point where I was like, I mean, you can sort of see when you ultimately find me that, like, the thing that I didn't actually realize until watching the footage is, like, I saw y'all before you saw me, like, only by a matter of seconds. But I was so over it by that point because I had been crouched down in the woods between rain and not rain for, like, what, like 4 hours with basically no food or anything.
At least that. Yeah, I think more.
Yeah. And I was like starving, running out of water, cold, and just ready for it to be over. So like I like fully stood up and was like, there they are. I think a couple of seconds before you actually spotted me, which like you would have found me, of course, eventually. But like I was ready to be out of the woods.
Look, we were all ready to be out of those woods.
Yeah. The one nice thing that happened was y'all took long enough that we got to that magical 3 p.m. mark where we didn't have to go anywhere else that day.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although the unfortunate side of that was that that meant we had to stay in Winterthur, which, listen, I'm sure it's a very nice place to live, but it's not the part of Switzerland that one goes to visit, let's say.
No.
If that's the diplomatic thing.
It wasn't the vibiest place that I've been.
Yeah. And that's sort of reflected in like the selection. Like, so if you go on the Wikipedia page, I think it was the Wikipedia page, there's like a line about how not touristy it is. Like it specifically says like Winterthur gets very few visitors.
Mm.
And that was like definitely reflected in the amount of hotels available. Whereas like this was like the fifth largest city in Switzerland because it was included within our,
right.
We had one of our questions that was it proximity to the, one of the fifth largest or something?
I think it had to do with, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And Winterthur was one of them. But like there truly were like maybe only like a dozen or so proper hotels. And I tried to find the best one because, you know, it's not like they were massively expensive. And it was like the most businessy business hotel I've ever seen.
Mm, yeah.
It was in a business park. Ben, you remember the name?
Yeah, it was called Hotel Banana City, which sounds much more fun than it was.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's an awesome hotel name.
It was one of the bleakest hotels I've ever stayed in.
And this was the best hotel.
Yeah, I mean, it got the job done, certainly. Not to knock Hotel Banana City.
Yeah, like not like bleak, like bad. Like the hotel itself was fine. The vibes were just like, I mean, how would you describe the vibes, Ben?
You know, the back rooms, you know, that like creepypasta, the back rooms, it felt exactly like that. Like it was just these long, sterile sort of like hallways with nothing in them and like fluorescent lighting.
Do you remember the few things in the hallways?
Maybe I can like tweet out a photo of it or something, but like just empty, empty hallways, nothing in them. But then at the end of one of the hallways was a cow that was made out of clocks.
A cow that was made out of clocks.
A cow that was made out of clocks. Yep.
And how?
I thought I was like hallucinating or something. Because that was the only piece of decor in the entire hotel.
And then also, like, for some reason, our entire floor had been, like, turned into an impromptu mini golf course.
Oh, yeah, by these, like, Swiss business guys.
Yeah, that was a bit inexplicable, too.
I mean, that sounds awesome. It sounds like Hotel Banana City was really cool.
It sounds like we're describing a dream. It sounds like we're describing a really weird dream, but that's just what it's like at Hotel Banana City.
And to be clear, Banana City, it turns out, is, well, as Ben mentioned, a lot less cool than it sounds. It's just like the most businessy business park or like kind of business complex that just happens to be shaped in sort of like a slight banana shape if you look at it from above.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the most soulless business building, park, whatever.
Oh, so the whole business park is called Banana City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this,
this hotel is part of Banana City.
That's so much less fun.
Yeah.
That's so much less fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was my second night there.
I mean, I will say that a place that has a cow made out of clocks and a big impromptu mini golf course does sound awesome. So I'm wondering if it was just your state of mind.
No, like it keeps sounding a lot cooler than it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know how I can convince everyone, but it was like...
Here, I'm looking into it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tweet a photo that I took in Hotel Banana City. And once again, we're just going to let people not know what this tweet is about until this podcast comes out.
I mean, the pictures look great, but I believe you that they're misleading.
Again, the hotel itself was like a perfectly nice hotel.
Sure. Sure.
I would not say don't stay at the Hotel Banana City.
Mm.
I'm not convinced that Winterthur has better options, but the vibes were just insane.
I see.
Yeah. The main thing was it was a nice, quick, and easy walk to the main station, and that was most of what we were looking for.
Okay, I'm tweeting the photo.
I am glad that you had to go back to the woods. That seems like it was probably annoying that you had to leave the woods and then go back to the woods and then leave the woods again.
Yeah, Ben really didn't want to, but...
I really didn't want to, but we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's our job.
We did do it. Well, I mean, we realized, like, there was no way to, like, fake it or anything because we realized we had to do an honest run towards the first train out of the day out of Winterthur Toss, which was only 20 minutes after the game started. And theoretically, it's like a 30-something minute walk from the station. Mm-hmm. So we did have to give it a good, true running sequence, or at least fast walking sequence. And we did make it.
Yeah, that run is not fun. As you see at the end of the episode, I was in quite a hurry to get to that train station.
And next week, you'll find out why.
Yeah. Although I'm realizing now, I think we're talking about the start of the next episode.
No, you see me at the end of this episode run to the train station and start my...
Well, I don't think you see Ben and I run.
Oh, no, we don't see you guys. No, we don't see you.
Well, spoiler, we make the first train.
It's not a very exciting...
That's the kind of spoilers you get on the Layover podcast.
Yeah. Well...
What else is there to say?
What else is there to say?
I mean, honestly, this is not the most complex... Like, the synopsis of this episode can be... Adam and Ben found Winterthur very quickly then wandered around for 6 hours going to the wrong McDonald's in wrong woods.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to say, so I just tweeted out the photo from Hotel Banana City.
Is everybody commenting, oh, is this Hotel Banana City? It looks awesome.
The first comment on the photo was, Ben, you look like you're in the back rooms. Hmm. So vibe-wise, I was on point.
Yeah, see, that photo really encapsulates it well. Like, does that look like a hospitable place?
Oh, Ben. Oh, no. You made it sound so much cooler than it was. You said it was a cow made out of clocks. This is just a cow with clocks drawn on it.
No, well, it has a lot of clocks on it.
Well, I know, but I thought that you meant that there was a statue of a cow that was built out of little clocks, which would be much cooler.
I guess that would be cooler. No. And if anyone can explain to us what this cow could possibly mean or why it was there... That would be appreciated.
Do you think it's like a Salvador Dali reference?
Well, it's art.
Is it art?
We're talking about it.
Is it art?
We're talking about it, aren't we?
Or is it like a Swiss thing? Maybe it's like a Swiss thing.
What do you mean it's a Swiss thing?
I mean, it is a Swiss thing. It was in Switzerland.
That's true. I guess it was definitely a Swiss thing. Well, if anyone has any information concerning this cow, please let us know because it haunts me.
Yeah, and go stay at the Hotel Banana City. Another delightful spot to add to your jet lag world tour.
I do really think people should go stay at the Swiss Chalet in Merleshocken, though. Now, there is a great hotel.
Yeah, go to Merleshocken, then go to Yairo Station, and then go to Hotel Banana City and look at the cow clock. Clock cow. Yeah, that's right.
That would be an interesting journey. You would involve going to Switzerland and staying at a lovely little hotel, then going to Japan and going to a very interesting little station, then going back to Switzerland to stay at like a business park.
The people love planes.
That's true. There's no doubt about that. Speaking of planes, how are you adjusting, Sam? You seem sleepy.
I am sleepy.
Oh, happy birthday, by the way.
Thank
it was
you.
Your birthday yesterday. Happy birthday.
That's true.
And it seemed like you ran a really good marathon time. You broke 3 hours, which is very impressive.
I did. Yes, I am quite sleepy, mostly because I got back at like 10:30 last night, and then rather early recording time this morning.
That's true.
After running a marathon yesterday.
Yeah.
As I mentioned at the start, we're all just abound with energy today. But yeah, I mean, we do have a pretty exciting last episode to talk about next week. I think plenty to talk about there. And I think all in all, how would y'all describe the finale? I don't want to do anything spoilery.
I would say the finale is final.
It's very final. It's
the final episode.
Yeah, very ultimate. Yeah.
I would say it's unique. I mean, we've said this before, but like every round in this game plays out pretty differently. And this round is no exception.
Yep.
It's got some new stuff for the audience to consider. I think they'll hopefully enjoy it.
It's true.
Yeah. We continue to learn lessons. Let's put it that way. A lot of lessons learned.
There were certainly lessons learned.
Yep. All right. Final words?
Banana City. Those are my final words. Banana City.
Ben?
This is kind of like one of those things where it's like name a woman and then all of a sudden you can't think of any women.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if I were to name a woman, I would name Marie Kondo.
It's a good one. My final words are props to you for, I'm going to be honest, I don't think this was our finest podcast work today. Sorry, Ben and Adam.
Damn it.
This sucks. Is this our performance review?
This is your layover performance review.
Oh, no.
But we're going to come back with so much energy for the finale next week. And then we're going to be in off-season mode. That's going to be great. Fun fact, first off-season episode is layover episode number 50.
Is it? Ooh, that's fun.
That's true.
Kind of can't believe that. That's a lot of episodes.
How are we going to celebrate?
This is the most long-lasting podcast I've ever done by a major margin.
Well, soon we'll have more episodes of the Layover podcast than we will have episodes of Jetlag the Game, and that'll be a weird moment.
Wow.
That's creepy.
Wow.
Or maybe that doesn't work out. Maybe it won't. Because we have 49 episodes right now on YouTube. No, so on Nebula we have... Oh, wait a minute. I think that this was the 50th episode of Jetlag.
Not according to Manny.
Of Jetlag the Game.
Oh, of Jetlag, not Layover. Maybe. I don't know.
Yay.
Yay.
Good job.
That's good. All right. Thoughts on the discourse of podcasting equipment needs to be licensed?
What?
Is there discourse on that?
Podcasting equipment needs to be licensed? What does that mean?
Yeah. Like similar to discourse about like we need gun licenses, we should also have podcasting equipment licenses.
Oh, there should be like a waiting period or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, I think there needs to be a complete and total shutdown on podcasts until we can figure out what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the very least, we need to license and regulate 2 to 3 20 to 30 year old white men talking about movie podcasts.
Sure. Sure. That's fair.
Yeah.
We don't talk about movies, though, at least. I mean, I love movies. I love talking about them, but I don't have a podcast about them. And that's, you know.
I hate talking about movies so much. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
It's true. You don't really like to talk about movies.
And the problem is I have so many friends who really like talking about movies.
Mm.
And it just means that, like, I just zone out at, like, dinner or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough.
I simply just don't care. I'm sorry.
Most people like movies. It's normal.
I like movies. I just like do not give a shit about discussing the latest whatever, especially like, okay, if we start talking about Marvel movies, I'm gonna go to sleep.
Okay, now this is a good way to know that we can get you to fall asleep. If we ever want to do a prank on you, we'll start talking about Marvel movies and you'll fall asleep and then we'll do our prank.
Well, I was going to say something worse than that, but I'm trying to keep this podcast PG.
How about that Madame Web?
Hey.
Hey, Adam. How about that Madame Web?
I heard it sucked.
I didn't watch it.
I heard it's very bad. Oh, I thought of one last thing. A lot of people were like, none of those words rhyme with Steinen, or maybe it's pronounced Steenen.
We don't know how words work.
First of all, we don't know how words are pronounced. Second of all, the rhyming rules in order to make it fair and objective was just that it just has to rhyme with the last syllable. So that's the rule.
Yeah.
Just has to rhyme with the last syllable.
I think we also all understood that our interpretations of how different things like Zug might differ.
Yeah.
And therefore we were kind of doing the most inclusive definition possible where we were looking like, okay, rug rhymes with Zug, assuming Zug is pronounced that way, but maybe it's pronounced Zug. But that's fine because we also know that it can be pronounced Zug and that rhymes with rug.
Yeah.
I still to this day do not. Now they're going to DM me about this. I don't want to know how Zug is pronounced. Please do not DM me.
It's pronounced Zook.
Is that right?
I believe it's zoo.
Yeah. Which I actually did know, but then I was like, there's no words in the English language that rhyme with zook.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
So what am I supposed to do about that? I just have to hope that you guys pronounce it zug, which I was right about.
Yep. Yeah, we're just a bunch of filthy Americans. Anyway, I don't know. Was this podcast bad? What do you think?
No.
Here's what I think. I think if we keep saying the podcast might be bad, then people will think it's bad.
You're right. No, this podcast was really good.
I feel like if we don't say anything, then people will just be like, another episode of the Layover Podcast. You know what I mean?
Because they're all bad? Is that what you're saying?
No, I feel like I'm just saying, I feel like if you keep talking about how maybe it's bad, then people start to be like, oh, it was bad. You know?
We should open every podcast by being like, this podcast is good.
Mm-hmm. I think that's smart.
I don't want to set expectations that high.
Well, excellence isn't for everyone.
Okay. Well, we'll be back next week with the best layover episode ever.
Next week, we're going to have one of the best ones anyone's ever seen. You're going to love it.
Adam's going to do a dance.
It's true. I'm going to do a little dance, and everyone's going to love that.
And it's going to be a dance so good that it's going to even be good over the podcasting medium.
It's going to transcend the medium, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So look forward to that. But for now, goodbye. You're not going to say goodbye?
Bye.
Okay, there you go.
Banana City, goodbye.
Goodbye.